crank that as loud as it'll go, because it's just so awesome.
I don't think Quebec disappears when it separates.
It's gone.
Are you a capitalist?
Don't know how to touch this. Oh no, that's going off the handle.
Hello.
Hello.
You really like giraffes, don't you?
We don't kid around when we rock the giraffe as our mascot.
No, you really don't. Jeez, man, that's. Well, no, hey, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, make anything about it. Cause, to be absolutely honest, everybody likes their own thing, eh?
Yeah, that's true.
So, how are you this fine morning?
I'm good, thank you. Like, isn't it nighttime there?
No. For some reason, right? It's almost just 4 p.m.
Oh wow.
So we must have really messed up these times. Cause I was like, you were saying about waking up, and I was like. What time is it? So what time is it right now over there?
It's almost 9 a.m.
9 a.m. So it's now 4... So it's 5 hours difference. It's not too bad.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not too bad. Yeah, it's not bad for being, like, on the other side of the world. But it seems you've brought some snow with you, because it's snowing outside. You've got some flurries.
Oh, no way.
Which is really, really weird. But it's kind of like wet snow, so it doesn't stick. And, it's like, we don't get good weather over here, so you wouldn't want to be here. You wouldn't want to be here,
well,
trust me.
Dude, I'm from Canada. It's snowing outside right now, so I definitely can be compassionate.
I know you can... Oh, no, but the thing is, right, I don't know, you know the guy Bear Grylls,
yeah.
Right? You know, drink his own piss kind of guy.
Yeah.
So he's got a training center up here in Aberdeen, in the city I live in, and... I remember reading this like post. He was answering questions, and he said, "Look, you know, he's been to every part of the world, and I love this." He says, "The only place we ever had real serious problems with the weather was Scotland, in the Highlands, because like the rest of the world, yes, it was much more extreme, but at least it wasn't lots of extremes together. See, Scotland is not only cold; it's wet and windy as well. And what it means is like all the cold kind of gets absorbed onto your bones, and you're like."
Yeah,
but we just we take it normally, you know, taking our stride.
Exactly. I've always wanted to go. You're in Scotland, correct?
Yeah, Scotland in the moment. Yes,
I'd love to.
We'll
go
see
to
what happens in the next few years. Because I grew up in Northern Ireland, actually. So for me, it's like I came to Scotland to study. So even for me, I'm a little bit of an outsider in that respect.
Okay, well, I'm curious. I'm curious to hear some backstories on that.
there's a lot of backstory. And yourself, you came from Texas, right?
Well, I'm originally Canadian. I just moved all around the states and eventually came back to Canada. But my family lives in Texas right now.
Okay, so you obviously went back to Canada for a reason, right?
It's kind of a long story, but essentially, my parents moved from Chicago to Toronto, and at that point, I had turned 18. And then when my dad got a job in back in Chicago, again, I was considered an adult, and I wasn't allowed to go down on the visa with them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, that sucks, man.
Yeah, so my parents abandoned me. No, they did what they had to do, but I mean, it's just one of those things in life where, unfortunately, when you turn 18, it's not all fun in regards of your family, because like I said, they had to do what they had to do and move, and unfortunately, I was stuck here.
Good lord, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Like, I make a... Oh, that makes me angry. That makes me angry. I'm, like, seething now. Oh, God, I want to punch them. Sorry.
Yeah, and the, like...
It's okay.
The crappy thing is like, the immigration process, like, sorry to say it, but unless you're Mexican, like, I have to wait, like, 8 to 10 years, literally just to get, like, accepted on a visa, like a family visa, just to go down.
It's really funny because immigration is different all around the world. But then again, you know, like they make a big thing about it here in the UK, or they're making a big thing about it. But it's really ridiculous because, like, you know, a lot of the time when people talk about immigration, it's not like they don't seem informed on the topic. Instead, it's kind of like it's a talking point, because I actually am technically an immigrant, because I was born in Germany.
Oh, wow.
And I lived there for 4 years, and then we came over to Northern Ireland. Like, my dad's Northern Irish, so, you know, that kind of goes. And I was 4 years old at the time, well, almost five. And, like, the thing is, when people talk about immigration, I find, you know, and I'll say, you know, I'm an immigrant. I wasn't born in this country. I was born in a different country, and I lived there, and I came over here. And they're like, oh, yeah, but you're okay. I'm like, well, what's so special about me? Because I have a feeling that it's, well, you don't look like the people I think of as immigrants, and that immigrants, and that's my problem with it. There's too much kind of other things, you know, mixed into the idea of immigrants. I don't know, how do you feel about, like, immigration talked about in the US and Canada? I mean, is it talked about in a very straightforward manner with lots of implications, or is it more complex?
Well, have you ever been to Canada?
No, I haven't, unfortunately.
Canada's kind of like a big melding pot of all cultures. I think immigration's really big over here because a lot of people come here so that they can, you know, they can live free and kind of practice and do whatever they like, because that's the Canadian culture. You know, you can move here and you can be or do anything you want. Where I think with the States, they have a lot more battles with immigration control, like, you know, with south of the border and stuff like that. But I definitely think both cultures are a great place to go to live. Definitely, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And like, I would never deny that. I think, I must say, sometimes from this side of the Atlantic, there are a few things that I'm not so keen on. And like, for me, my problem with a lot of Americans is they're wholly capitalist. And but like, to the point of like Ayn Rand capitalism, like kind of really the way they take everything far too far and then start ignoring things.
Yeah.
I don't know, would you consider yourself a capitalist, or would you not even think about it? Would you say that, well, just we're capitalists, that's it, you know? Do you ever think about how your kind of political, social, economic leanings go?
Did you listen to our one podcast on politics?
Yes, of course I did.
Oh, yeah. And that question that you asked, too, I'm sorry, we touched on that briefly, but it was kind of one of those questions where, like, we all looked at each other and it was like, I don't know how to touch this, so.
Well, I don't know why you kept it in, then. Like, well, you could have just said, oh, we had a really complicated question here. No, I mean, like, I'm very interested because I think, for example, history in the past is extremely political, especially now, because the way people demonstrated. And what it means is that, like, when people try and talk about history, they always go for, like, one or two experts who come down from the heavens to dispense truth, and everybody just has to accept it, where I think it's actually a bit different. But, again, back to my question, are you a capitalist?
I don't really know. I don't really get too much into politics and stuff like that, as you probably heard.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. It's quite funny because I don't know if you know much about Northern Ireland.
I know nothing.
And the Troubles. Okay, so basically Northern Ireland is separate from Ireland, right?
Yeah.
And it's part of the UK. Now, there's a lot of issues with identity in Northern Ireland. So there's always been issue with Ireland and the UK. So UK has typically in the past not treated Ireland very well. Actually, they've treated them really badly.
Yep.
And it's like, it's boiled over. You know, there's been Irish nationalist riots back in the 18th century, the 19th, and the 20th century. And so, I mean, we had a lot of kind of issues. I mean, I'm trying to remember, like, during the potato famine, the UK, the Britain did barely anything for Ireland. But you see, I'm trying to remember, there was a number of indigenous groups in America, right,
mm-hmm.
who sent over $100 each, which I think equates to something like $2,000 now or more to help Ireland out. Like, Britain couldn't do it, but a number of indigenous tribes and natives populations in America could. Like, that's the kind of backstory you have to have when you look at Northern Ireland, because after that, you've got the Troubles, which is a period from the 70s to the late 80s, early 90s, where the IRA went on a pretty sustained bombing campaign. So they blew up hotels, they blew up police stations, they murdered hundreds of people. And a lot of people, what you'll hear is they'll talk about Catholics and Protestants. Yep. And so, but the problem is that that's all mixed up with different identities. So if you're a Catholic person, you're likely to go to a Catholic school, you're likely to play GAA, and you're likely to, like, for example, speak Gaelic, and you're likely to have an Irish name. Now, this is not necessarily right, but this is how people viewed it. And, like, there's even a funny one. It gets ridiculous. Like, the gap between your eyes, if you had too much of a gap between your eyes, you were Catholic, apparently. Or if you had a gap in your teeth, you were Catholic, and you could get beaten up for just the way you look.
Okay.
And that was only a number of years ago, and it's only now that it's got died down, and it's like a few people still causing a bit of trouble. But it, I must say, politics in Northern Ireland is extremely messy, and like, I've been on, like, I used to get the train to school, and like, get bomb scares on the line was just like, it became a normal occurrence, you know? Oh, wow. Like, you get like 100 bomb scares maybe over 2 years or something, like, it would be pretty serious. Like, I'd get into school late, oh, what happened, bomb scare, you know? It'd be, you know, like, maybe 200 is a bit much, but like, it was a regular enough occurrence that nobody gave a damn anymore. They're just like, oh, it's like leaves on the line, you know?
Yeah.
So like, for me, like, politics is very, it's very important in the sense that it has had a great effect on the way I've been brought up. But obviously it's different for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you guys just have that, I think I read about it, it was either last month or just before, that reform that just went to pass.
Which reform,
sorry? Or I thought it was the separation.
Ah, yes, the independence of Scotland.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Yeah, the independence of Scotland was a bit silly. Basically, it was an all-or-nothing kind of referendum. And what happened was, it was really funny, because basically what happened was this Scottish National Party said, all right, guys, we want to be independent. That's what they ran on, and they got lots of support for it, because England right now, or politics in Britain, is seen as London-centric, right? So London gets all of the money, and everybody else gets, like, scrapings of money, even though we all pay, like, the same taxes. So that's pretty stupid, you know? And people kind of feel as if they're really distant from London and they have no voice. So all that led up into the independence debate, and for a while it was like the no's were winning. And then what happened was, about 3 weeks before the vote, the yes vote was winning. It got over 50% in polls, and then you should have seen the politicians come up. Like, oh wow, it was like a reunion tour. They were pulling out every single Scottish Conservative speaker they could, and they were getting them all on stage and talking. And I'm like, oh my god. And the no's won. Because, oh yes, we're going to devolve your powers, which, you know, like, we're going to give you all this extra power, but still keep you in the UK. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. But you see, the funny thing is that Scotland is so Labour-influenced. So Labour, I don't know how you would describe it. I don't know. Do you have a Labour party in Canada?
We might. You probably don't hear about it too much, but we might.
Yeah. So basically, the Labour party are kind of worker-centric. Well, no, they originally were worker-centric. Now, not so much. Conservatives and Labours in the UK are starting to kind of look like two different shades of the same brown. But Scotland has the biggest Labour vote. So if Scotland leaves the UK, then it's going to be indefinitely Tory or Conservative governments for quite a while. But if I can get a barometer, I'd say Conservative in the UK is like Liberal Democrat in the US.
Yeah.
So, you know, the good with the bad.
Would you want to see Scotland separate and become its own?
So I'd say my first kind of instance was, like, for example, I'll say it, I voted yes for independence because I wanted to guarantee change. Because to me, the no vote was too stopping everything, stopping discussion of a devolution of powers or a more of a separation. So for me, a yes vote was the way to ensure that we got some change. But, like, I'd actually like to see maybe a federal UK. So, like, the United States of Britain, which would come just after United States of America, so it's USA, USB. because, like, I think that, I wouldn't be adverse to that, especially when it means that you have certain money kind of ring-fenced for certain areas. I think that would be really good. So, like, the state of Scotland, the state of, or provinces, I don't know, whatever you would call it, but I wouldn't mind seeing that. I don't know, how are the borders split in Canada?
They're pretty even. You don't really hear a lot of grumblings except from Quebec. And Quebec is pretty much kind of just like in the scenario where you guys are at, where they constantly want to separate and become their own country and leave Canada. And usually every 5 or 10 years they form up a party and they try to do it, and they haven't been successful so far, but they want to separate from Canada as well.
And what would that actually mean for Canada if they separated? I mean, what would it actually mean in terms of, I don't know, governing? Would it change much?
I don't think it would change much. It would just be weird, because you'd have all of Eastern and Middle Canada within this huge gap where now there's nothing because Quebec's gone, and then you keep going out into the east. But
I don't think Quebec disappears when it separates. It's not a physical separation.
Oh no,
David.
It's gone.
Could you imagine, like, standing on the border and it's like, I'm just wanting to get to the other side. Oh no, we do not speak English. I'm sorry, you must be fluent in French to pass.
Well, I've heard like, horror stories, and I've never had the opportunity to go there myself, but I've heard if you go to Quebec, in some occasions you can be treated very poorly because you don't speak French, or if they know you don't, they won't talk to you. But then I've also heard, you know, some really great stories of, you know, people actually helping you and making you part of their family. But yeah, it all comes down to the people that you meet and where you live. I got nothing against Quebec personally.
Yeah. So do you speak any languages? Any foreign languages? No?
I don't, unfortunately. I really wish as a kid I would have stuck with French. And then when I was in the States, I really wish I would have done Spanish, but mm-hmm. It just, I find with languages, it's one of those things where you have to either keep speaking it with people that you know that can, or you're just going to forget it.
Yeah. Are there any languages you'd really like to learn? I mean, there must be one of those languages that you kind of like, oh, if only I could learn it, then I could actually finally sing these songs I listen to.
I think French would be cool. Spanish, just basically anything on this side of the hemisphere would be cool, but I think most of the European ones would really, you know, really intimidate me.
Why? So for example, I speak German, right? Because obviously I'm half German. That's why I was born in Germany. Yeah. Hello. So yeah, German, Irish, really good constitution, +3. but okay, right. Let me teach you a little bit of German, okay, David? Right.
Okay.
Okay, so you're greeting somebody, you say, yep. Hallo.
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 Hello.
There you go.
It kind of sounds like a Hawaiian thing. Hello.
Okay, right. Let's try how are you, okay? Are you ready for this? Yeah. Wie geht es dir?
Wie geht es dir?
Es geht mir gut, danke.
Oh no, that's going off the handle.
Okay, no. That means I'm well. Es geht mir gut, danke.
It's so cool to listen to other people speak languages. This is awesome.
I must say, like, I did German for GCSE for A level, and you know, I also listen to a lot of German music. I speak German to my relatives, so like, I've got that constant kind of like I'm constantly using it. But the funny thing is that I can speak it quite well, but once you get me to write it down, ugh. I die. Like, I just seriously, I'm like, I don't know how to write. I've got like the writing of a 5-year-old. It's really bad.
Oh, I've got the writing of a 5-year-old for my main language, so I'm pretty
sure. Oh, is that American?
Basically, I mean, I think also with how technology has changed us these past years,
yeah.
I think we're spending more time typing and not as much time, you know, writing on our cursive, right?
Yeah. No, you're completely right. And actually, funny that I got a new tablet recently, and it's got a stylus. I've been trying to use that a bit more, and I actually like doing the handwriting stuff, and I'm getting better. But I know what you mean. I do like handwritten notes. Like I'm doing a job application at the moment, and I'm just like, I type it out and then I print out my covering letter, and then I just make, you know, written notes on printed out thing, because that's how I work better. You know, I type it out once, and then when I'm going to revise it, I do my notes, then revise it on, print it out, handwrite my notes. It's just the way I work. I don't know about you. What do you do if you want to revise something?
Sorry, are you talking about your final submitted one you read out, or just like your notes that you write to correct your resume?
Oh, no. Like, so for example, I'll print out my CV. I've got it here. You can hear the paper. So I'll print it out, right? I'll take a pen and I'll make notation about what I want to change, what I want to add. Then I make those changes on the computer, print it out again, and then make further notations. And it'll go like through about 5 times. Until I get something where I don't feel I can add any more notes.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
And that happens with a lot of the stuff I write as well. Just the way I work. I don't know, do you have any ways of working?
I pretty much work on a computer all the time. The only thing I have is I keep a journal, and usually every day I try to write something or fill out anything just to either get thoughts off my head or just to, you know, keep writing. But I really find that with most day-to-day stuff, like I'm always using a computer or a telephone.
Mm. And what will you be writing today?
probably about my crazy podcast week I've been having. You actually wrap up my I guess my mini tour that I've been doing.
Yeah, I heard. Can you? Which other shows are you on?
I started off on Geep and Gam, then I went on to The Listening Party. Then we had Snake Oil Comics on last night on our show, and then I was lucky enough to be able to do your show today.
It's amazing, isn't it? I must say that, like, I love podcasting. I really...
Oh, I do too.
But, like, I started podcasting 7 years ago, which... Oh, my God, I feel old. Oh, my God. See, when I was 15 and doing my GCSEs, I was spending a lot of time listening to a podcast called Sarcastic Gamer. And I kept listening, and I decided after a month that I want to do this. So I got my results. I got good results. I was like, Mom, Dad, can you buy me a podcasting kit, please? And so they did. And then I started creating a new podcast just from scratch. I was like, yep, let's get some people in. And I got two of my best friends in. It was Dermot and Paddy. And we sat down and we talked about video games. And that was started back in 2008 in August. And we ran sporadically until 2010. And it was really good fun, but it was a lot of hard work. Because unfortunately I put a lot of energy into stuff, and the projects I do, I really give it my all, but it's often difficult to get, like, I just think there's a difference between, like, when I decide to do something, it's all I can do, and nobody can really step in and say, oh, maybe I can take that off your hands and I'll help you out there. And it just ended up, I burned out, you know, I burned out, and I just couldn't do it anymore at the pace that we'd set. So, and then I was going to uni here in Scotland, and I just came across somebody who was part of the Front Towards Gamer website, and they wanted to start a podcast. So once again, we did a podcast called Negating the Premise. Again, video games. For some reason, we really like video games. No idea why.
Everyone likes video games.
you'd think. Actually, you know, it's one of those things. Yeah.
Do you know what I find? There's tons, though, of video game movie podcasts since I've started going. And it's really kind of refreshing, you know, when I listen to your show, to have something different that isn't on the market. because then it keeps things interesting. Because you can only listen to so many podcasts about guys talking about video games and movies, but it's nice to add like a different stroke to your palate.
And I mean, the thing is that for me, podcasting is about like the thing is, the reason I created The Anarchaeologist was because there wasn't anything there. Like, I was like, I'm looking for archaeology podcast that's interesting. It's not just reading off the headlines. But it didn't exist. Like, there are a few good podcasts, archaeology podcasts out there. But when I was looking, there was nothing I really wanted. And I said, okay, well, I'll make it. It's not there. Yeah. I want it. I'll make it. And I haven't made it by myself. You know, there's been just an amazing community out there who love to engage. And I don't know about you, how you felt in podcasting, but to me, it's been just amazing reaching out to people and just, you know, getting people on, hearing back from people, talking to people. And just podcasting is just amazing for having that connection. I don't know, how do you feel about podcasting? When did you start?
Well, I'll get to this two ways. First off, we started podcasting because one day we were in a bar, all four of us, and we were basically yelling at each other about an upcoming robot apocalypse situation. And it was getting quite heated, and we had servers joining us and a couple of guys sitting around the bar joining us. And then I think at the end of it, we just decided like, hey, why don't we just record this? And we kind of bounced the idea around for a while, and we just decided at one point, hey, let's just give this podcasting stuff a shot. I mean, I used to be in a band. I had all the equipment to get started. I didn't really have to buy much. So we just kind of set up and started going. And I've just completely fallen in love with podcasting. Like, if I could quit my job and make any money doing this, I would in a heartbeat. No questions asked.
Oh, but I completely agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it paid like 10 bucks an hour, I would work overtime every day. No problem. but the podcast community was my biggest discovery because when we first got started, me and Andy had differing opinions on this because he thought it should be a situation where it's like, I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back. But I was under the belief that I didn't want to go that model. I just wanted to reach out, listen to podcasts, say, hey, I listened to this, I checked it out, it's pretty good, and then not really ask for anything in return. Like, I figured that if people are interested, they'll get interested and check out your show. And I've just been completely amazed with how awesome this community is. I've got lots of podcasters talking to me every day. We're sharing ideas. I've been on, like I said, four shows this week just from talking to you guys. It's such an awesome place.
And I like the setup of your show. Even though you know, I don't agree with everything, I must say it's really funny hearing a lot of American kind of Canadian viewpoints together, because like a lot of the time there's not a lot of UK podcasts that I listen to that are...
Well, you're my only UK podcaster.
Yes! And I find it funny because I think there's a culture of talk radio in America and, well, in the whole of North American continent that's really kind of... It's so easy to kind of drop, like, take from that culture and, like, under all the understanding that you need to kind of go and talk on a show. You know what I mean? Like, over here in the UK, because I feel sometimes the BBC is this big institution, you have to be like the best of the best to be in the BBC. And so people, when they're talking on radio, it's almost like really prestigious. Whereas in America and Canada, it seems like anybody can give it a shot. And it's just, you know, you sit down, it's this guy and he's got his a dram of whiskey there. And he's just telling you about stuff. And I think that kind of lends itself to a more go-getting attitude. Yeah. I don't know, like, was radio part of your, like, kind of upbringing or in any way?
Kind of not really. I mean, I listen to the radio, and, you know, since I've gotten, or iPods, came into the picture, I've kind of tuned off radio, because then you kind of get to select your own radio and own music. And a lot of the time with radio, I'm not a big fan of sitting there listening through commercials. I'd rather just continually to listen to something, but I would try to pursue a career in radio after being a podcaster. I mean, it's probably the closest thing, unless your pod goes viral, to getting paid. Mm-hmm. But I think radio is still something that's important. I mean, obviously people are still listening to it, right?
Yeah, No, the only thing is about Canadian radio, I don't know if you know this, but Canadian radio has a specific percentage of the artists played have to be Canadian.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like our football league. There's a certain percent of players that have to be Canadian.
It's funny though, because you know, a lot of the time that ends up being what, Nickelback and Justin Bieber, eh?
I hate those two. Don't even get me started on them.
Actually, what sort of music do you like, David? What would you say you're into? And don't you fucking dare say me, oh, a little bit of everything. I've got an eclectic music taste. Oh, I'm not really bothered about what I listen to, because I've had it when I ask people, like, what are you listening to, right? I've had to restructure the question. So I say, okay, what's on your iPod at the moment? That is what I want to know.
Okay, so I'll just do it that way. So I'll tell you the last bands that I've listened to on my iPod. So one of them is a Canadian artist called Matthew Good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's really awesome. I've had Arctic Monkeys.
Okay.
I've had an American progressive metal band called Coheed and Cambria.
Yeah, I do know those guys.
Sweet, I love them. I've had Bastille.
Okay.
And I've had Rush.
Oh, okay. I'm getting a flavor for what you like, actually. I must say, Rush, very, very good. Coheed and Cambria,
not your cup of tea? It's okay. I mean, music is different for everyone, what they get into.
You're completely right. It's just, I used to be on student radio, and I used to do a show called Mosh on the radio, and I was the, I don't know how you describe it, the demonic technical corner. So, like, there was a point in my life a few years ago where I realized that the music I listened to, I couldn't get any heavier.
So you're a complete, like a metalhead almost?
Oh, David. I'm very much a metalhead, but I don't look it. I used to have like the long hair, and I have a couple of band t-shirts. Actually, I can't talk. I'm wearing a Devin Townsend band t-shirt right now. One of the greats, actually. Do you know Devin Townsend?
I've never heard of that one.
Oh my god, he's like your best export. He's a Canadian heavy metal magician. Like, he actually, you know what you have to do after this show? You have to listen to the album Canada. Or, sorry, no, you have to listen to the song Canada on the album Terrier. And Devin Townsend is like, oh my god, he's just so cool, okay? He writes music that, like, it's not particularly heavy. Well, some of it's very, very heavy, but he's got a certain style that's very, very almost operatic, and it's just fantastic to listen to. And like, I'm in awe of him, but of also other bands. Like, I love a large range of music, and I love, you know, stuff that's, you know, slow paced. So like a lot of post metal bands like Neurosis or Isis, but I really like, you know, fast stuff like The Faceless, like Necrophagist. And, you know, in terms of, like, I'm a big metalhead, but my brother has started getting me into jazz, so I'm trying now to find the kind of sweet spot in the middle.
Oh, I was just going to say, before we get to jazz, like, you need to check out a band called Protest the Hero, then, by Canada.
I love Protest the Hero! Sorry, I've been listening to Protest the Hero for the last, like, 2 weeks solid. Like,
I love that band.
I got Spotify Premium for like 99 pence for 3 months. There was like an offer on. Yeah. And
nice.
Basically, I had kind of looked for bands that were like Between the Buried and Me. Really good band. And it came up Protest the Hero. I was like, oh yeah, I'll check those guys out. Oh my god. I was like,
dude,
ugh.
Their new album, Volition, is incredible.
Jesus, man.
I'll literally be gaming and just crank that as loud as it'll go, because it's just so awesome. And Kazaya is another awesome album too. I did not like Fortress, though, I will say that.
I'll have to listen to those ones. I've been listening to Volition on solid. I mean, just, I don't know what it is about it, but like, for example, Tilting Against Windmills is perfect. And then Skies,
yeah.
Like, it's actually quite funny. I've had this idea in my head, and I don't know if it's the right reading of it, or go and listen to Skies again, right? It's the one where he starts off stop, cough, and splutter, da 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 da, and it's like the kind of piano bit and the vocals falling from the sky, da 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 da, and I think it's actually so recently, I don't know if you know, but it's anniversary of the Challenger disaster.
Okay. Yeah.
Which was what was it, 37th mission into space? Well, basically, the Challenger disaster was where during takeoff, they unfortunately an O-ring.
The O-ring, yeah. And the ship, unfortunately, you know, for lack of better words, blew up.
But what's very, very disturbing, if you look read back through the accounts, is that there's suggestions that some of the crew members may not have perished in the initial explosion.
Oh, that'd be terrible, man.
And I like the song Skies is like, there's like stuff like falling without flight, or like, crashing into the earth, you know, like, I'm like, oh my god, you know, like, it kind of just made a connection for me, and I love that about music, and like, I love these connections that things, you know, these things make, but like, I think that's amazing. Sorry, what sort of connections have you made, if any?
Well, I don't want to say I don't connect with music that way. I connect with music more for just the feeling of the music itself. I mean, sometimes I can get behind, you know, the lyrics and the meanings, but to me, it's more just about like how the music makes me feel. The mist on that track or on Volition is about Newfoundland and the time that they went to Newfoundland. And I think it was either the first or second time they played live there. The stage got rushed and it collapsed to the point where the stagehands out back actually had to pick it up and hold it on their shoulders so that the band could finish the set. And they actually referenced that in the song, which I think is pretty cool.
Wow, wow. Those stagehands must get paid.
Yeah, and just be ripped.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, you know, Volition has been my gym soundtrack. Recently, I've been trying to get hashtag PodFit, because I don't know if you know the podcast, The Pittsburgh Nerd.
Yeah, I've got them on my list. I've fortunately haven't checked them out yet, but they are on my listening list.
It's just that obviously Dark Angels and Pretty Freaks is our kind of connection here, and it's like, I think Annalise told me about, you know, Pittsburgh Nerd doing like, I think he's doing like a training regime to lose weight and stuff, and I'm trying to lose weight as well, so I kind of like reached out and said, you know, I think he made up this hashtag PodFit, which I really like, so I've been kind of referencing that a lot as well, but I'm pretty bad. Like, I really like sweet things and it's just does not work for me, and I don't know about you, but I just like, if I'm doing something and I continually do it, that's fine, but and I'll just keep going and going and going. But if I trip up, I just fall and I crash and I burn. And it's just really difficult for me to get like up again and do stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can completely relate to that. Because in the summertime, I got on a really big fitness kick. And I think for 3 or 5 months, I was constantly going at it. Like, I had a decent program. I've got a friend going to school for, you know, weightlifting and weight loss, and he taught me some cool tricks. And I was probably going 5 times a week. And I mean, I was seeing results. I lost, I think, 15 to 20 pounds.
Nice.
In that time, which was huge, huge accomplishment.
What's that in real kind of units?
Couldn't tell you. what do you guys use? I'm completely ignorant, but is it stones?
Depends, actually. I like, personally, because right, so I like, my degree was archaeology with chemistry, so I've had to use like kilograms and grams and micrograms so much that I've forgotten how to use stone and pounds. Like, so that's like completely off my radar. I'd say most people understand kilograms and stones. Yeah, it's really weird because like you usually round up, you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't say like 16 stone and then, you know, 7 ounces. No, you just say 16 stone, you know, like stuff.
I thought
like
you were gonna say like 7 pebble.
That is a terrible joke. I prefer kilograms, but it does make everything seem a bit bigger. Let me see, like, what did you say, 15 pounds, did you?
I lost 15 pounds, so I don't know what that is.
I'm just going to look it up. Thank you, Google. It is 6 kilograms. Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. 6 kilograms?
Thank you.
So it's basically, it's almost half. Almost half for whatever your pound weight is.
Okay, that's good to
know. So that means kilograms always seem bigger.
What's your fitness routine? Do you a lot of cardio, or do you like to lift a lot of weights?
I would like to lift a lot of weights, but I think I need to do more of the losing fat first. So, like, for example, today I spent 20 minutes on the cross trainer, 20 minutes on the bike, 20 minutes on the cross, and basically I was listening to stuff at the same time, so I was kind of like, I just don't want to do anything that's too kind of like, I have to concentrate. I can just want to do something that I just like power on through, and I just crank up the difficulty. So I just use the machines because I just can't do running. So I'll do about 60 minutes of cardio. Yeah, cardio. I'm not really big into weights at the moment. Okay. Especially not freestanding weights. I don't know. I'd be just kind of worried about dropping them and being that asshole in the gym who just doesn't know what he's doing. I just don't want to be that guy. So
no, yeah. I don't mind those guys. It's the guys that, you know, or you see that are completely ripped, and then like they'll go over to the mirror and they'll start flexing and like pulling up their shirt and, you know, turning to the girls and flexing. And it's like, come on, dude, like nobody wants to see that. We're here all to work out and just have, you know, have some good times as far as getting fit. No one wants to see you being a douchebag.
Funny enough, like I go to the gym here that's right beside the university. So you'd think, you know, you get mostly students, but like there's a couple older gentlemen who must be in their like 70s and 80s who are there, and I see them every time I'm there. I'm like, and like one of the guys, like he's got one crutch, and then he goes and he does his like sports physio and stuff, and like he'll do, you know, he'll do his weights and he'll do a bit of cardio here and there, and I'm like, wow, like if he can do it, like, and he's got like the the kind of drive and determination to do it. Well, my fat ass doesn't have any excuse. God damn it.
Well, I've kind of fallen out of it, unfortunately, because one, the weather here went completely cold, obviously, because of winter. And then two, I found that the gym I was at, the membership, was just too much, on top of the podcast fees that me and the group have been splitting. So I had to cancel it. Unfortunately, I'll probably get back into it in the summertime, but
it's one of those things, you know, and at the end of the day, you can always like try and do stuff at home, you know, 20 press-ups before bed, work it all out.
Yeah, do crunches as you're listening to podcasts.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. And which podcast? Actually, you know what we should do? We should like, give the person listening some motivation. Okay, so David, do you want to give our listener some motivation when they're doing, you know, while they're listening to this podcast? Go on.
What kind of motivation do you want?
They're currently doing press ups, so come on, David. They're doing press ups for you. Give them something.
If you keep doing these press ups, the giraffe will always be with you.
That's beautiful.
I don't know if that's what you're looking for. Yeah, I could just yell and scream at this, like, go, get it done.
God, that sounds.
What kind of motivation would you do?
So American. Hey, you f***ing pansy. Hey, you calling that f***ing sit up, mate? Get moving! Tune in next time for Myers Boyle Test Part 2! If you enjoyed today's show, make sure you check out the Cool Story Show, one of the best out there. And if you want to find out who this David Meyer is, check out @DiamondDave on Twitter. That's not his handle, is it? That's his name. God damn it! I'm no good at this! Oh. At least this music is calming. I need a drink. Like a really good one. Jeeves! Whiskey! On the rocks! I think that is the right term. What do I want?